Right, well, my name's Graham Geddes, and I lead a congregation not dissimilar to this one. They're all mad. mad as hatters, all of them. And I expect you are. I get the feeling that you might be a bit that way too. I'm not sure, but I see some of the symptoms that I see in my own congregation that's sort of manifesting themselves right now. So I think, we meet council estate in Woolwich, near the Woolwich Ferry. And it's where they decanted all the troublemakers from all over southeast London. They built this estate, and they thought it would be a good idea to put them all in one place so that the police would know exactly where they all were living and operating from. But it was built like a fortress. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Woolwich, but it's a Woolwich Common. It's built like the flats are built in a circle, and everything is put in the middle of it, flats and blocks and stuff. It's full of concrete, as I'm sure Broadfield might be. I haven't been there, but they're all much the same, aren't they? Right. But I'm married to Angela. I lead this congregation at Woolwich. We have two children. One is 34. The other one's 33. We've got four grandchildren. One's 14, it'll be 15 soon. One is 8, 9. One's 11. 10. 15, 14, 10, 8, and 6, 7. So, 4. And, by the time we get around, they're all different ages. But we have a daughter who's married, and she's expecting a baby, their second child. The first one's hers was 15. It will be 15. And I lead this congregation in Woolwich, but I'm part of the overall leadership of ICTHIS Christian Fellowship, and that's quite testing at times. But I see some of your faces. I recognize some of the faces from Revive. Gradually, as I'm looking around, I can see some familiar faces. I was going to say familiar spirits, but that's not what I mean. I mean familiar faces. So I think I was really sensing. I've just spoken to Dave. Is he the one in charge? Is that the guy in charge, Dave? Is he? Is he the one in charge? Where is he then? He's gone. He gave me permission. That's okay. He gave me permission I've got some words that God gave us, Ange and I, over the last couple of days to give to you. And I felt we should do it because tonight we thought this was about being prepared. That's when Kevin called and said or emailed us. He's very good. This man, you email him and he emails you straight back. That is unheard of in Christian circles. Does he? All right. Right. But, right. It was probably his phone that did the stuff. But I just wanted to, just before we start, I just wanted to lay down some ground rules. Is that all right for the weekend? Because we felt that God was preparing you for bigger things. More exciting things. Not that you're not living exciting things now, but that we felt that God was saying, take a step up to another level, you know, and this is what we feel God's saying to you, and that's why we've channeled this stuff over this few days to help us to get there, because we feel the presence of God here. We feel that he loves what you do in Broadfield. We feel that you're doing a ministry that other churches wouldn't touch with a barge pole in many, many, many places. Many places wouldn't do it. Wouldn't entertain it. We can empathise somewhat because our estate is similar, and you know as well as I do that to work on an estate it has to be a real calling. You wouldn't choose to do that. In fact. The Woolwich Common, I was in the police for 30 years, and the Woolwich Common estate was on my beat. And it, as I explained, it's like a fortress. It's built in a circle. There's only one road in, one road out.
if they didn't stone you going in, they would get you coming out. So it was like, and I used to hate it going in there. I used to and I forget who I was talking to, but they knew immediately what I was saying, because you couldn't park your police car anywhere under a tower block, because somebody would drop a fridge on it or a cooker or something. They'd just heave it over the balcony if they could, try and embed it in the roof. But fortunately, that never happened, but that's the sort of place it was. Then, when God said, we want you to go and put your church up there, I said, well, that's it, I'm leaving. I don't mind getting up there, you know, with all the riot stuff on, and Monday to Friday and Saturday. Going up there on a Sunday in my ordinary clothes, there's no way I'm going in there, because that was just the way it was. But God changes your heart, doesn't he? And he changed my heart. And we've been there about, about 15 years? And running stuff there, like much the same as you do. It's very interesting. The stuff that I've been hearing just, you know, from Katie and Martin at the prayer and fasting, and just over dinner with Val and Phil. So it's amazing, just some of the similarities. So, okay, so that's just a bit of where we are and who we are. Just to say this, that when we come here, we do so, we operate under the authority of the leadership team here. We don't fly off and do our own thing. Anything that we do, I checked with Dave tonight that we could do what we're going to do for the first part of this, and he was okay with that. He said, go ahead. So that's the first thing you need to know. The other thing is that if myself or Angela, or anybody for that matter, gives you a word or a picture or a verse or some sort of thing from the Lord, doesn't matter what it is, please just don't accept it at face value. Take it, pray it, test it, check it out with other leaders, some of your leaders here. And in fact, I would say this, if it doesn't apply to you, or you don't think it applies to you, don't receive it. Nobody's going to be offended. Okay? That's the first thing. Don't take what we say, or anybody for that matter, don't take it as being gospel truth. Because Angela and I are human, and we make mistakes, and we get it wrong. So that's why you need to pray these things, weigh them up and test them, and weigh them up against Scripture as well, to see that they're true. Angela and I want to be available, over the weekend, as much as we can, for you. If you'd like us to pray with you, whatever, we'd love to do that. We're here until Sunday when you all go home, so we'd love to do that too. We're not superhuman. We're just like you. We're working our salvation out with fear and trembling, and that's sometimes you make mistakes. So just understand that and know that we do it because we are submitting to the authority of the leaders of this congregation. Okay, that's why we've come and how we want to work. But make sure that you weigh those things up. Okay. You still with me? You say yes, Graham, and loudly, because it sort of keeps you going, keeps you encouraged, and it stops you falling asleep. Because this is Friday night. Some of you have been to work. Some coming in. This is the last thing on earth you want, is to sit and listen to me rabbiting on all night. Okay? But that's where it is. You're a captive audience. I'm here, so you're going to have to be here. So a bit like Charlton supporters, you know, when I used to police those matches. People used to try and leave at halftime, and I used to say, I don't know where you're going. He said, if I've got to stay for the full game, you're going to have to stay as well. So I used to not let anybody leave at halftime. But this was in the bad old days when they're really doing worse than they are now. Okay, right, let's do. While we were praying into some of these stuff over the weekend, I woke up actually this morning, and as I was waking up, I heard these words. You know, any of you read or seen The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? In that, there's a phrase that says, always winter, but never Christmas. That's what I woke up with this morning. I felt the Lord was saying to some people here, it was about disappointment. It was all about sort of, there's always a build-up to something. There's always the prospect of something happening, but it never happened. And you were living with disappointment. And I felt the Lord just say that he wants to not disappoint, he wants to give you appointments. Not disappoint, appointments, okay? If that's you, we'd love to pray with you afterwards over that, because it's, I believe it's the Lord speaking to some here that have been sort of always thinking, always it's always winter, but it's never Christmas, never reaches the sort of fulfillment of the dream, if you know what I mean. Maybe dreams have been shattered or lost. Maybe a vision that you thought was dead, the Lord just says it's not dead. It's still there, and it is. Christmas is going to come. You just got to trust. And we'd love to. If that is you, please seek us out over the weekend, and we will love to pray with you, because I believe that's a word from the Lord for someone here. Might be one or two people. Okay. Also, in the Song of Solomon, these things came to me this morning as I was sort of coming to. You may be familiar with this, and this may resonate with some of you. I believe it's for one or two that are going through some sort of turbulence. You just feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. The Lord loves you, and there is light at the end of the tunnel. The Lord really loves you, and He wants to minister to you, and He wants to give you encouragement. He gave me these verses to read, and it's from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and it says this. Chapter 2. My beloved responded and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for the pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle doves has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance." And I really sense that some here have had that sense where you've been going through this sort of winter. I know we've all physically and naturally in the natural gone through winter, but the Lord's just saying, you know, whatever it is that's been the turbulence that you've been going through, the darkness that you're in, the end is coming, and the winter's gone. Spring, you know, when you see the daffodils come up and the crocuses, it's a bit like that. That I felt the Lord just trying to encourage us that's those dark times, that turbulence is passing, and good times are coming. It's going to take you into a good, open, calm place. Okay, just hold these. Okay, and then we'll maybe just pray in a moment. The other things, there's just the word persistence, and I believe the Lord wanted to encourage some here who've been praying, but you don't seem to be breaking through, or you don't seem to be seeing the fruit of that prayer. And the Lord just said, don't stop one prayer short of the answer. You're closer than you think. Okay? If you're praying for a situation or maybe a loved one in your family, don't give up. The Lord says, don't give up. Keep praying, because you're closer than you think to the breakthrough. Okay? I just want to encourage you. Persistence in prayer. Encouragement was another one. I believe some of us need some encouragement this weekend. I believe that some of these words will do that. If you take them and you take them to yourself and you pray them, I believe the Lord will encourage you. I'm praying. Our prayer, Angela and I, our prayer is this weekend, that we move on, that we move up, and that we take what the Lord's saying, and we use it, and we go with it, if that's what we think it's, if we believe it's for us, okay? So don't give up. Persistence in prayer. The Lord just reminded me as well, while we were worshiping, about the story of Lazarus. You know that story where he raised Lazarus. When Lazarus came out of the tomb, Jesus said to those that were standing nearby, "Take off the death clothes and let him walk. Take off the death clothes so that he can walk better." There's two things there. I felt the Lord was saying, some of us have got that. You know, we've been raised from the dead, we've been resurrected, we've been saved, we've been redeemed, but there's still some of the old world death clothes still on us that the Lord wants to remove over this weekend. He wants to take them off. the other side of that is that some of you here in the congregation may be the ones over this weekend that will help to take off those death clothes in prayer or standing alongside someone who needs that sort of help. Sometimes it takes another person to show you what it is, doesn't it? Sometimes you don't see it in ourselves, but someone else comes along and says, you know, I think we need to pray for this. And suddenly the revelation comes and you realize. So there's two sides to that word, I believe. That one, that there are things that we need to have taken off. We're saved. There's nothing wrong with your salvation. It's just that the Lord wants you to fly. And you can't do it because there's still some of the worldly, deathy stuff on you that's just hindering you. And the other part is those of you that have this sort of insight or this ministry, you need to get alongside those people and help them to remove the death clothes. Low self-esteem was another thing I really sensed that the enemy has been whispering in some ears, has been accusing into some ears, has been putting you down, has been destroying your self-esteem, pulling you down. Every time you try to rise up, he just pulls you down, We want to pray that God blocks your ears to the lies and the deceit and the cheat and the accusation of the enemy. And we want to declare that this, what he's saying to you, it is not you. That's not who you are. That is not how God intended you to be. And we want to pray that your ears will be opened to the love and the affirmation of God that says, I love you. You're my child. You're my princess. You're my prince. You're my son. You're my daughter. Because that's what God wants to speak in. We need to be praying that our ears are blocked. Those ears are blocked to the lying of the enemy. Because he will, particularly over a weekend like this, where we come together, he hates that. He hates it when the body of Christ come together. He does not like that one bit, because we're strong when we're together, aren't we? And he hates it. So he'll be moving around, he'll be looking for an opening. And I want us to be on high alert, not just for this weekend, but for one another in the body, in this congregation, so that we can be like watchmen and women, looking out to see where the enemy's coming, and to be ready and alert to do that. And I hope that as we go through the weekend, we're going to learn some things about how we can do that better, and how we can maybe do it for the first time. Maybe some of you haven't sort of moved in those things before. One of the things that I'm passionate about is that the church gets its prophetic age back. The church needs its prophetic age. And I know, like you know, on your estate, like my estate, that's where the rubber actually hits the road, isn't it? That's the coal face. You know, we on the way down here, we drove through some beautiful places, you know, with great big Anglican churches and idyllic places, you know, but sadly, that's not where God has called us, is it? He's called us onto those estates. And that's where the church needs to have its prophetic age at its most sharpest. And it's not, there's no room in the body for sleeping agents or secret service agents. You know, we're not allowed to sort of be like the old spies, and they used to lie low for years and years and years and years, and then suddenly pop up in a... That's not how it works, okay? We're all called to be the arms and legs of God. That's why we're here. It's great. It's lovely to be in fellowship with one another, and it's great to sort of worship, and I love it. That's part of it. But there is another part to it, and that is that God needs you and I to do the stuff, and he needs us to be moving in those sort of gifts that are going to speak into people's lives. People... we had an outreach in Woolwich last week, and we were praying, we were asking God to give us specific people that he would direct us to speak to, rather than just sort of willy-nilly handing leaflets out. And we had a lot of good connection. It was chucking it out of rain, so it was a bit hard to sort of get engage people in the rain. But the fact was that God was bringing people past. We give tea and coffee out while we're doing it, so that's always a bit of a draw. But we needed to be we need to have our spiritual eyes and ears on to be able to do that. And we need to sharpen them, those things up, and keep them sort of using them. If you don't, what is it you say? You don't use them, you lose them. And I don't want, in my own life, in my congregation, I don't want another congregation for God to bless. I don't want it to pass us by. I want Woolwich Congregation in Ichthys, in London, to get the fullness of all that God's going to give us. Because, and that's why we are desperate to engage in this sort of prophetic evangelism, any sort of evangelism, but to reaching out and doing stuff like that. Okay? Is that all right? Did you have something? This wasn't what I was planning, but I will go quickly to that and we'll... What time do we finish?
Two things specific. Are Callum's parents here? Sorry. Okay. All right. I'll wait until she's here, then I'll give that one when she's here. That's okay. I can do it another time. No problem. The other word I had is for the lady at the back, on my left, your right, in a T-shirt. Okay, there's three ladies sitting there, and you're the one on your far right. And I just felt that God was saying, do you feel his love for you? He's reaching out to you. He's surrounding you in a cocoon of his love. You are worthy of his love. And I saw a cocoon wrapping around you, like a silkworm does, wrapping around you, and it was a pure love, just holding you and loving you.
Okay. I'd just like us just to spend a bit of time. I just want to go over the story of Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. So if you'd like to just look at that, there's just two or three things I want us to pick up on. This is what we've called, Angela and I have called this sort of being, what have I called it, Angela? Prepare the way. That was it. Preparing the way. Just to be able to start off the weekend in a way that we can lay stuff down. Now, I'm not saying that that when you go out of here on Sunday after lunch that you still got to face those things. But I feel that when we've been drawn away together like this, it's great to do that because God can get you when you're away from the phone, you're away from the sort of everyday stuff that's going on at home, and he can speak to us in those moments. Okay, it doesn't mean to say that you will that you still have to face life when you get out of here on Sunday, when they let you go on Sunday. But you know, it may just be that God might just deal with some of those issues while you're here. Isn't that a possibility? Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe with all my heart. I believe that God's going to take some of us. And you're not going to recognize yourself by the time this weekend's over. If, and there's a big if here, it's if you're prepared to open up your heart and let God in to do what he wants to do. I know even now that some of you, God's speaking. He's speaking to you over some of the words we've given you. He's starting to speak over other issues, other things. He's even been speaking to you about things that are at home that you still got to deal with when you go on Monday, back on Monday. And I want to say, I'm going to pray in a moment because I'm going to ask God to come and just clear our minds, clear our hearts that we can receive what he wants to say. It's not about us being clever or doing anything like that. It's about us being open to God. You know that song, I bow down and confess you are Lord in this place. You know, if we just did that, we could all go home, couldn't we? Because that's what it's about. It's all about that. It's about bowing down. It's about confessing Jesus as Lord. And allowing him to deal with those issues, those situations that we face on a daily basis. So let's just pray. Why don't we just pray? And I'll ask God just to send his lovely Holy Spirit to come and just ease our hearts, just that sort of, you know, I saw a picture of like a heart that was encased with ice, and it was ice that was put there because of something that had occurred in the past, something that caused your heart to be hard. And I felt the Lord just, as he was just starting to release his spirit, as you opened up your heart and released, he started to release his spirit in, I saw the ice starting to melt, and I saw the loveliness of Jesus just flowing in and just melting that sort of shell around your heart. So Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to every heart in this room, Lord? I pray, Lord, for those that suffer with low self-esteem, Father, those that, Lord, who it's continually winter, Lord, but never Christmas in their lives, Father, I pray against and break all disappointments in people's lives here, Lord. I pray, Father, for those that suffer with low self-esteem, Father. We just break the power of the enemy and words that have been spoken into people's lives, like all the way through their lives, from when they were small, right up until this present day, Lord, and they're still dealing with it, Lord, and they're still troubled by it. Father, we just ask, come by your Spirit, Lord, move supernaturally in this place and do what you need to do, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, there's three things that I just wanted us to look at. Let's just read Mark 10 from verse 46 to the end. Would you like to come and read it?
And they came to Jericho, and he was going out from Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus and the son of Timaeus was sitting by the road. And when they heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and called him and said, call him here. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, arise, he is calling you. And casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began to follow him on the road.
Amen. That's okay.
And it was just interesting, I was just noticing this earlier today. In verse 48, you see where the crowd, Bartimaeus is screaming out, and the crowd are saying, be quiet, you know, tell him to shut up. And then, a verse later, when Jesus calls the Bartimaeus, how they've changed. He said, take courage, arise, he's calling for you. You know, like it's all sort of been turned around. You know, I just thought that was amusing that in one verse the crowd changed from, you know, being sort of angry with him to encouraging him. But the first thing I want to look at here in verse 47, it's this word persistence again. Bartimaeus persisted, even despite the fact that those that were around him were telling him to shut up, to be quiet. He still cried out. He still persisted in calling out to Jesus, because I believe that he, deep in his heart, he knew that if he could get a close encounter with Jesus, I believe he knew in his heart that something's going to change. Do you believe that? I do. I think he was just in that. I think also, you know, that Jesus was testing him a little bit, because I'm pretty sure that Jesus knew that Bartimaeus was there, and I'm pretty sure too that he could hear him. But I was just thinking today, I wonder if he just was testing Bartimaeus' persistence and his tenacity, and will he carry on? Will he keep going? Will he persist and enable me to glorify my Father in heaven, which is why Jesus went around healing people. But the other thing is, this reminded me, you know the story of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment? A similar sort of persistence and a pushing through. Where she was sort of on the edge of the crowd. She was isolated. She was an outcast, really, because she had the issue of blood. And as you know, they weren't looked on very kindly. They were kept outside the city.
She persisted in prayer. She persisted in pushing into Jesus. She persisted, like Bartimaeus. He kept shouting out, and eventually Jesus answered. And I want to encourage us this at the beginning of this weekend, that please don't give up. Please persist. Please persist. Be determined. That's what Bartimaeus was. He was determined that he was going to get a hearing with Jesus. He was determined to make himself heard. I want us, to, at the beginning of this weekend, to have that same determination, to be able to keep pushing in, keep persisting until God meets us, until we see some of those issues, some of those things that are troubling us, see them dealt with. And I believe he will. I believe he's going to come, and I believe he's going to answer prayers over this week. Let's not give up. Let's not give up over the weekend. Let's make a covenant with God tonight that we're going to persist. We're going to determine to press in to Jesus for answers in prayer this weekend. Yeah? That's it. Nice one. Verse 49. It says, Jesus stopped and he called Bartimaeus, and that's where the crowd suddenly turned nice again and said, "Take courage, arise, he's calling you." And it says, and casting aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And that's a bit like that word I had earlier about Lazarus. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, he still had some of the death clothes on him because they wrapped him up, and he needed someone to take those off so that he could walk and be free properly. When Bartimaeus got the call, the first thing he did, he cast off his cloak. He cast off, I think, for us, it's all symbolic of casting off stuff that draws us down, the stuff that harps back to the old life. Bartimaeus was probably somebody who had customized his place on the sidewalk, you know, had been blind for years, had, you know, wore stuff and used stuff that he carried with him all the time, that was sort of customized because he was blind. But it says that when Jesus called him, the first thing he did is cast it off, and he went for it. And I believe God's speaking to us tonight again about doing that very thing. At the beginning of this weekend, we're preparing for action. We're preparing the way for what God wants to do. And this is homework for us to do tonight when we go back to our rooms, to get into that place where we can say to God, "I want to lay the stuff down. You're calling me. I want to come to you. I want to persist in my prayers. I want to persist and be determined in seeking you out. I want to cast off my cloaks. I want to cast off any vestige of the world that's been left on me. And I want to come and I want to be free." And I believe that's what that sort of symbolizes to me, that as Bartimaeus got up, he cast aside all the stuff that was him, that had been him in the old life. And, you know, I don't know if you know, notice sometimes, you know, some illnesses, you know, if you're not careful, an illness can become your identity. Do you know what I mean by that? You know, it's like, I can't do that. I've got this or I've got that, you know. Now, I'm not belittling illness. Please don't think that. I'm just saying that our identity is in Christ. It's not in the illness. Our identity is in Christ. It's not in an ailment. It's not in a disability. It's not in blindness, deafness, anything like that. Our identity is in Christ. And I just wonder sometimes with Bartimaeus that when he stood up and he threw off his cloak, he was throwing off that old identity, that people identified him as the blind Bartimaeus. That's how it's the subtitles in the Word of God are, isn't it? It was the story of blind Bartimaeus. And I believe that when he stood up, threw off his cloak, he was throwing off that old identity because he was going to find a new identity in Christ. If that's you, I want you to do the exact same thing as Bartimaeus did. Just go to the Lord. I just want to throw this off. I want to throw off any vestige of whatever it is that has been my identity, whatever it is that I've been hanging on to in my life. I want to throw that off, and I want to come clean before you. Come clean come clean with everything. Confess and come clean, pure in his sight, into his presence. This weekend, you know, this is a could be a significant weekend for many of us. You know, if we can take hold of Jesus in a deeper way, a more persistent, determined way, determined like Bartimaeus was to be free of that, of his blindness, I believe God will respond to your prayers and will do it. Do you agree? I think there is faith. You know, if you haven't got faith to believe this, you know, you can ask for that gift of faith to do that. You know, if you want your faith increased, to take, you know, to enable you to believe for more, God will do that for you. All you got to do is ask. Simple as that. But the other thing, the third thing that I want us to see with Bartimaeus was the, was his faith. Because he was blind. It doesn't say that someone took him by the arm and led him to Jesus. It said that he sort of got up and ran to Jesus. Launched himself on Jesus. He had the faith. He knew, he had faith. He took steps of faith, literally took steps of faith. Stepped out and just walked, went towards Jesus. Because he knew that things were going to change. Because it's true, you know, when you meet Jesus, you're never the same, are you? You're never the same, are you? You're never the same, are you, Stacey? It's amazing. You're ruined for anything else. Roger always says that, you know, once you meet Jesus, you're ruined for anything else. And I believe that. Ruined in a good way. Ruined for the world. But you need to be in the world to change it. But I believe that for us, this beginning of this weekend, I believe God's asking some of us to step out, take some, not big steps, just little steps of faith. Just trust. I believe God's saying, trust me, because I can do it if you let me. Do you agree? So there's three things there. There was persistence, and determination. There was, what was the second one? Throwing off the stuff that was holding him back. And the third one was taking a step of faith. Do you think at the beginning of this weekend you could do that? You need to get a bit more enthusiastic. I know it's Friday night. Come on. Hey? Like the reading room at the British Library. No, but I believe it. I believe it. Angela and I have come full of faith. We believe that God is going to change. If we can just be like Bartimaeus and just take on those things and lay down some things, take up some things. Now, why don't we stand? Because I want us to pray. If the reason I'm asking you all to stand is because I know that some of you were responding to those words that we gave and responding in your hearts. So I don't want to identify anyone. If you want to come and see us during the course of the week, the weekend, then we'd love to pray with you. But I want to pray generally for everyone now. Yeah, God says no to disappointment and yes to appointment. No to disappointment, yes to appointments, okay? It's that phrase, always winter but never Christmas. If that's you, I want you to respond to the Holy Spirit. Just respond in your heart and say, Lord, I put away disappointment. The Lord wants to lift it off you. He wants to lift that right off you right now. Disappointments that have happened in the family, disappointments in school, other people putting sort of expectations on you when you were at school and expecting great things, but actually it wasn't what you wanted. And then you were disappointed and they were disappointed. I really believe the Lord wants to just rectify that and change that, because that wasn't you. That wasn't you. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. He wants to do away with disappointments and bring appointments. For that, those people are going through the turbulence and the darkness. The winter's gone. The spring is here, literally, in the natural it is. But it is for you too in the spiritual realm as well. That you are going to see light at the end of the tunnel. God is coming. God is with you. The winter's over. Summer has come. Be encouraged. Someone at the point of giving up in prayer over that situation that I spoke about, or a loved one. If you've got kids in your family or relatives that you've been praying for, that's the most important thing that you can do for that person, is to pray for them. God says, persist, don't give up. You're closer than you think. Persist in prayer. For those that suffer with low self-esteem, God wants to be the lifter of your head. He wants to lift you up. That's not how you're made to be. That's not how he made you. He made you, and when he made you, he saw that you were good. And when God says you're good, you're good. He loves you. He made you in his own image. That what you're hearing in your ears is not God, that's the enemy. Be encouraged. So Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and meet every heart in this room. I pray, Father, that you would bless them indeed. I pray, Father, that you enlarge their borders. I pray, Father, that you would never, never, never take your hand off them, Lord. And Father, I pray too that you would lead them away from the evil one. Lord, that you would guard them and protect them from the evil one. And Lord, I pray over this weekend, Lord, as we have tea and coffee and do those things, Father, I pray you would speak to our hearts. You'd speak into our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would soften those hearts that need to be softened. Thank you for that heart I saw, Lord, with the ice melting. Father, I pray you continue that process. And Lord, at the end of all this, you'd be glorified. You'd be lifted up. You would be exalted in the lovely name of Jesus. In the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.